Good morning. It is Tuesday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Bo Tiff here with you live in the Kia Studios. Camouflage is the choice of the day again.
You can't see me, today. Tiff.
So you can't,
hey, who are you talking
your
about?
Your haters can't see you.
Who are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, Bo.
But you can see my head. My head's not camouflage. I mean, I can put my hood up if you want, but then you whine about that, so... I just figured
not
out.
Not me. I don't.
Yeah, you like it when I don't talk.
Bo, if you put your hood up, you would go full
John Cena. I'm just glad you admitted
Cena.
That you don't talk when your hood's up. So there we go. We got confirmation.
No, it's not necessary.
Once again,
you're putting words in people's mouths.
What are you talking about? You said Tiff likes when you don't talk. That's what we were talking about with your hood up.
Well, that's what she was hoping that it would mean. That she thinks my hood up means.
I've never said that.
Can we talk about something before we go into whatever it is we're going to go into?
Anything you want.
Good. for Freddie Freeman is making Braves fans. I had people hit me up Sunday. Feel a certain way right now. Dude is 4 of 12 in the World Series with 3 home runs and 7 RBIs.
Yeah, that'll
including
work.
A game-winning grand slam in the 10th inning on Friday night in Game 1.
So we're gonna see a sweep. What are the messages you're getting?
We're going to see a sweep in this?
I think it's very likely you could see a sweep.
Yeah.
I think...
What messages are you getting?
Oh, well, a lot of Braves fans are now changing the narrative that the Braves never should have let Freddie walk. And
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's how it played out.
Well, it's not at all how it played out. It was an agent overplayed his hand. And when he said, no, when Alex Anthopoulos said, hey, I'm going to send you over an offer. Tiff, this is my final offer. And if you say no, I'm walking away. And his agent goes, no, we're not going to accept that. And like 2 hours later, Matt Olson was a Brave. With a new deal as well. And
like, okay, cool, we got a backup plan.
Yeah. And it was one of those deals where, look, I'm only gonna play this game long enough. And I I'm a Freddie guy. I love how I don't know if you've seen Chipper Jones's tweets, but Chipper's been very active in the during the World Series.
Has he?
Yeah,
he usually throws out some pretty good stuff.
Well, he's also commented on the new, which I don't even think we've touched on, the new hitting hire that that the team has made, and Chipper loves the approach. And this is a gentleman that has, you know, he's been a part of the Rangers organization, and I think he's leaving the Rangers job, not mistaken. And so I'm sure CJ Nikowski knows a lot about him, who spent time with the Rangers before coming over to being the Braves analyst for Bally. But anyways, even Chipper was like, hey, I'm so proud of little brother. He's eating. Because, you know, they have a relationship. A
four-wheeler bond.
More than a four-wheeler bond.
I know. I was just kidding. But
I know, but I do think it's important that people forget that Chipper was the leader on that team when Freddie stepped in as a young player. And, you know, he helped grow Freddie as a player. So they do have an ice storm bond where Chipper might have saved
Freddie. Yeah, an ice storm bond. Not a four-wheeler. Yeah, there you go. The quad bond. There it is. I like that. Yeah. I like what you're saying.
So, anyways, I just know we haven't really touched much on the World Series, and that was important because former Brave is playing hero.
Yeah, he's been a dog in that game too. I know that the Ohtani injury has overshadowed the last couple of days, but yeah, man, it looks to me like our buddy Mark Zeno is going to be screaming from the rooftops that Aaron Boone's not good enough as a manager, and I don't know if Aaron Boone is or is not a good enough manager, but. They're in the World Series, so it kind of is what it is at that point. You're not going to fire a guy after a World Series trip.
Well, he sat here and said Friday that he wanted he almost would be fine. He hinted at the fact that he would be fine with them losing if it meant Aaron Boone was fired.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's all on Aaron Boone.
That's so typical.
It's such an angry way to go about life.
I know. Just enjoy the fact your team's in the World Series, man.
I'm glad I'm not that way. Oh, I'm not. Oh, let me tell you something, Tiffany. I might have my moments, but I am an enjoy the ride type of guy. Okay, I am. I hate the negative. That's why I was hammering people on Twitter with it. Were yesterday alone saying Falcons are a bad team. I don't care if they're 5-3. They're not very good. They're gonna lose. And I'm like, well, good teams win games that are close.
I'll put it like this. You don't like being negative towards your teams, but you like being negative towards anybody that has a criticism that you don't agree with.
Yeah.
With your teams.
That's right.
That's where your hatred is, your hate is fueled. Can That's where you recharge.
Can I reword it a little bit?
Sure.
I love coming at people who are wrong. How about that?
Instead of hate, it's I love. Okay.
That would be a really good way to put it if you're...
You
if that wasn't opinion-based.
You should work in PR.
I'm always
a
right.
A heck of a spin.
I'm always right.
If it was fact-based, I would completely agree with what you were talking about. But
well, do you think good...
A heck of a spin.
Do you guys think good teams win close games and bad teams lose them? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you're 5-3 and every game you've played in has been close but one or two, and you're 1-1 in those other games, so throw those out. You're 4-2 in close games. I thought that was a sign of a good team.
Well,
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let me kind of bring. I agree with you, and I do think the Falcons are a good team. But let me show you the other side of the coin here. I think there have been fraudulent 5-3 teams in the past.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the other side of the coin. If you want to go there with it,
I
don't think the Falcons are one of those. Just to be clear, again, I think the Falcons are a good football team, and I think it builds character to win close games, especially when you are on the road and they have been as good as they have on the road. I think it says something about you.
But see, I think you can be a dominant 13-4 and lose in the first round, and people might say, "Oh, see, they were a fraud." I don't think that makes them a fraud. I just think that's how it plays out in the NFL. Styles make fights, and that's part of that's well that's why for whatever reason the style that Tampa Bay plays defensively. Kirk Cousins eats on, and there are other teams that have gotten after Kirk Cousins that have you know he went hungry that day.
Imagine the conversations in those meeting rooms yesterday or today or whenever they're showing up saying, "Man, why did we stop running the ball?"
I looked this up because it was something that I got to the end of the stats yesterday. I was looking over some stuff before I did an interview in Tennessee, and I said. They ran for 102 yards, and I said, damn, I think they had like 80 in the end of the first half. Turns out they had 17 carries for 74 yards in the first half. They had 5 carries the rest of the game, yeah. 5 attempted rushes.
And it wasn't like the game got out of hand. You know, that's the crazy part. It's not like the game got out of hand at halftime or anything. It's just, it's wild, man. But you love the answers either way from both sides, honestly. It made a good game.
Anyways, Tiff, you have a good night?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess if you want to say that, I mean, I was home.
Yeah, so that's a good night.
In the evening, not too bad.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask you.
I did have, though, a delivery that came in.
Ooh, what'd you get?
I was trying another food thing, and the delivery service, which shall not be named, left it not in the fridge where it's the marking of put it into the, refrigerate, the marking on it was not clearly visible. But they still chose this box, which you might know the brand, and they left it on the floor next to the fridge. So all my food.
Wait. They came in your apartment?
Yeah, the delivery service has access into the apartment.
Oh,
so
wow.
There's a fridge in the apartment for people who get meal delivery.
She's talking about interaction.
Oh,
building.
In the complex. Yeah.
In the building.
Ah,
yes,
I got you.
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
I was like, whoa.
That's a cool thing, so off brand for you to let a delivery service into your apartment?
No, man, you can't do that.
Although some things do allow that now. But anyway, they left it. On the floor, like across from the fridge.
Oh boy!
I had shrimp in there, some other things.
Have you guys seen the viral video of the delivery, the food delivery service? Like that the lady brings it in the front door of the apartment while a 30-year-old mom is sitting there with her toddler son. And they're
Walmart
playing on the floor.
Walmart has commercials like this, but not like that, but they do bring the food into your house.
Right. And so there's like a nursery cam in there, and the lady just walks right in. She kind of looks up. It's an older lady. She looks up and sees the mom and her toddler playing in the living room. She puts the food on the bar, takes a picture of it, and walks back out. Like, it's kind of gone viral. People are like, I don't understand that this lady just, like, she didn't even acknowledge the people sitting in the living room. She just walked in, put it down, getting her side hustle on, and walked right back out.
There's nothing that cracks me up more than when people deliver stuff to your house. I almost said a bad word. Deliver stuff to your house. And they won't even knock on the door, but they're out there like taking a picture. And I'm like, could you hit the Ring doorbell?
Most people don't want people to knock.
But I
want to
know it's there.
You want them to leave it. You're tracking it. You want them to leave it. The instructions on some of my friends will say, don't knock. But some people, force it.
Well, that I get. They say,
every
knock.
Single one of my, like, whatever, leave a note. It says, do not knock, baby asleep, whatever. Because my dog will bark and it'll go crazy and I don't need you. Here's the other thing. Here's what I find nuts. And there's Amazon driver, shout out to y'all, because I know y'all's job is hard. I cannot tell you how often I'll be outside working in my garage, right? Or outside working in my driveway, whatever it is, cleaning my car, whatever it may be. All right. And the Amazon driver walks up and I'll be like reaching out to get the package. And this has happened probably 10 times over the last few months. Amazon driver will be like, hang on for a second. We'll set it on the ground, take a photo, pick it back up off the ground and hand it to me. Which, I mean, I get it. That's what I'm saying. Shout out to them. I love the fact that I have to take a photo, because if one of my packages don't make it, I'd love to see that photo. But at the same time, it does feel a little ridiculous that we were placing it on the ground to take a photo just to pick it back up and hand it to me. I get it. It's just one of those funny little caveats of the old delivery service is what
they
I'm saying.
They can't take a picture with you?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, hey, do you want your New Balances in this one?
I need a picture and they'll just snap it. I'm not in the photo, but like my hands or something is in the photo.
I mean, it's we are living in a different, this world is nothing like
crazy,
it was.
Crazy, right? Crazy.
I mean, I couldn't tell you if you told me that there was going to be a third delivery, a website like Amazon, I'd be like, what? Yeah,
who was it? Andy Bunker the day ordered the first thing he's ever ordered off of Amazon?
I just can't believe that.
I don't either,
I'm sorry.
Man. That's unbelievable.
I'm not saying that Andy is being misleading, but that is just so hard to fathom. It is just hard to fathom.
When we return, we will discuss the topic you lovely, so lovely tease, Bo, and that is, are the Falcons, the way that they are winning games, is it sustainable? Hint, hint, we're talking about the defense. We'll discuss next when we come back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We are back here on the Morning Shift. Before we get to Falcons, you guys catch Monday Night Football last night and see your favorite, Mr. Unlimited?
Yeah.
I got to give him, it's
like
got to give him credit. Well, you understand, and no hate, because I know every time you talk about a player, that what they do or don't do, it comes into hater, or you either love another guy or hate that guy. But
that's just you.
They are, trust me, I hear about it. They are significantly better on offense with, and I know that they struggled at times last night, but with Russell Wilson, as far as the passing game goes, you know, you see Darnell Washington getting involved last night. They just seem like they are better in the passing portion. And Najee, you know, the running game is going, Mike.
Him hurdling people.
Dude, Najee looks as spry as we've seen, to me, in my opinion, as I've seen him look in a long time. He kind of lumbered last year a little bit. And I know that he was dinged up at times, but he kind of lumbered a little bit, looked a little heavy-footed. Like, he looks like his acceleration is as good as I've seen him maybe since his last year at Bama. Like, he can get up to speed very quickly right now.
You know, we remember Derrick Henry the last, how would you say, like 6 or 7 seasons. But remember Derrick Henry before, and I'm going to give Arthur Smith a little bit of love. I'm not going to go Mark Zeno love on Arthur, but remember when Derrick Henry was there and he was splitting carries in the backfield in Tennessee, and then Arthur Smith is elevated to the OC,
yeah.
And all of a sudden he goes, no, what we're going to do is you're the man, because we all know that, and Derrick Henry, he became Derrick Henry of the NFL that we know, right? Well, that seems to be a little bit of what Arthur is doing with Najee Harris, and I'm not saying he's Derrick Henry, but what I'm saying is we're seeing the Najee Harris we saw at Alabama. Because I remember watching Najee Harris play in the SEC Championship game, and Arch and I were talking about, man, how would that look under an Arthur Smith offense?
Yeah.
Now we're seeing it.
I agree. Well, and to your point, and I agree with you, but also Jaylen Warren last night had a couple of moments where he's electric, and you and I have both been a fan of Jaylen Warren since the beginning of last year. Since finally healthy. Did we play him in the preseason last year? I think, played him in the preseason last year. And I was like, dude, that Jaylen Warren kid is unreal.
We tried to get him.
Yeah, we did. Golly, man, got scooped in fantasy. That's all right, though. He's a dog. I love watching that guy play. But, yeah, to your point, Najee Harris, he's pretty good right now.
And then the interaction with, I don't know if you guys saw it on social, but there was a clip, and they probably aired it during the broadcast as well, but of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields talking, having a more in-depth conversation, it looked like, on the sideline. Really, it was just looked like a lot of Justin Fields kind of listening, but it seems like it's a pretty good setup, a good plan for someone like a Justin Fields to learn from a guy, from a veteran.
Mr. Unlimited.
They were having a bromant.
Wow.
No.
Dad joke. I will say
I will say this
is that I think the best version of Justin Fields that what he could be lies somewhere around the Seattle, early Seattle version of Russ, where he could move out of the pocket, make the, you know, he would find like the Tyler Lockett or whatever on the run. That and a little bit of kind of what Lamar can do as times we're getting out of the pocket. Like I think when if Justin could be that type of quarterback in the pocket that Russell Wilson has been at times, man, he would be undefendable.
Mr. Unlimited.
And I think it just takes a little bit of growth.
Undefendable.
So.
Is that a word? Undefendable?
Indefensible?
I yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sound right, but I'm with you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Well, it's not unguardable because you don't guard quarterbacks necessarily.
Let's stick with the defending, undefendable, whatever you want to call it, kind of topic, because that will bridge me to the Falcons and what we want to get to, which is, okay, they're creating turnovers, right? The defense has been opportunistic. Yet they still don't have this pass rush that everyone's been talking about. So is this the way that they're winning, powered by the offense that has been really explosive and getting the take? I mean, the turnover battle is, that's the battle you have to win anyway. But the question is, can they still keep winning games this way? Is it sustainable?
I think, first off, turnover battle is kind of taking the place of sacks to me right now for this team because they had three, I believe, on Sunday, and I think they had 14 points off of those. So they kind of, hey, you know what, instead of getting you off the field by sacking you and putting you behind the line of scrimmage and getting off that way, we're just going to take the ball away. That's what, essentially what happened in that play, that A.J. Terrell interception. I know that the fumble or whatever, which ruined it all, but it's a good question. I don't know.
Because I say all that to say, not really sure, to be honest with you.
What I think is that they could still win without getting the sacks if they could stop the run game efficiently. But then again, I think if they stop the run game more, it might lead to more sacks.
Well, yeah. There's no doubt about it. Let me give you two stats that kind of correlate with that, all right? Because we don't find ourselves very often because we're not great at stopping the run. We don't find ourselves in obvious passing downs, right? So two of the stats that kind of jump out to you, when you look at it, the Falcons are right now dead last in completion percentage against our defense, right? And we've mentioned a number of times, corners play off, safeties play deep, going to give you everything underneath. Baker Mayfield, it seemed like, well, what did we say? He started 14 of 15 or whatever. I mean, it was ridiculous. The ball didn't hit the ground for like the first quarter and a half for Baker Mayfield, right? So 72.5% completion percentage against our defense right now, dead last in the league. On the flip side, though, 6.6 yards per attempt on those passes, right? That's actually sixth in the NFL. So they're keeping everything in front of them, and our corners are tackling extremely well and extremely physically, right? And a lot of that lends itself, like you kind of pointed out, to the fact that the ball comes out now. All right, doesn't allow, like we get in these third and four, third and five situations, right? And we really aren't able to tee off.
Unless you win immediately.
Right.
Unless
you are dipping the shoulder right now and in the backfield, and even then you might not get home because we've had some immediate one-on-one wins, but we're not able to get home because the ball is coming out now. So we're keeping everything in front of us. And here's the thing. It's by design. A lot of the time, we're keeping everything in front of us. We're limiting explosives. We've been one of the best defenses in the league at limiting explosives because we're good tacklers. But at the same time, if you can find any way possible to be better on first down against the run, this defense could be elite in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that would lend itself to the pass rush because you'd get more long yardage situations that you don't seem to be getting right now.
And that's what I just feel like I'm a broken record on this. That's why when people say our defensive line sucks because they can't get home in the pass rush and look at how bad they are in the run game. I don't blame the defensive line for a lot of the run game issues. I think there are moments where, you're not penetrating or you're not setting the edge or you're not staying in your lane. But I feel like a lot of time that because we're either at depth or our linebackers aren't shedding and stacking, which, you know, is basically staying in their lanes,
right?
And they're running around blocks. And when you and Arch and I talked about this, when you run around blocks, you leave holes.
Yeah.
Because you're running around trying to make a play, and in reality, if you would just stay in your lane where you're supposed to be, it now bottlenecks stuff, right? Because the running back can't step into that hole. He has to maybe fill. And by that time, someone does shed a block or get off and is able to make a play for maybe a 2 yard gain instead of, I don't know, 8.5.
So did you technically then kind of answer the question then? You said you didn't know before.
It's the pass rush I can deal with. Okay. I think it'll come if you have more situations where it's 3rd and 7 and not 3rd and 2. But then again, what's going to happen is what happens in all the NFL. If you start stopping the run, now they're going to start throwing on early downs. And if you're still playing off, they're going to get that 6 yards another way.
Yeah. I just think it to answer your question, Tiff, I think it's just week to week. Like, what are the issues that you're presented with? And I think that's what's so frustrating about what Seattle was able to do a couple of weeks ago. And you play flat and you know that Seattle's going to come out and throw the ball. All right. Instead, they start off running on the first drive and you're like, oh crap, we got to adjust to that. And then all of a sudden the explosives opened up and that one to DK Metcalf before halftime was a killer. I mean, it just simply was. And so I think it's matchup based. It's week to week. It's what do they do well? Let's take that away from them. The only problem is that you get in these situations like you did last week. And again, I don't understand. I haven't watched enough of it to know why Tampa got away from the run. But matchup based, you knew Tampa was going to come out and run it. And yet they did, and they ran it down your throat. So that's concerning for me.
So now if it's matchup based, you have to wonder what's going to take place when they face the Cowboys this week, because you don't know what you're going to get with that team based on how inconsistent they have been this season. But that's a topic that we're definitely going to get to cover. But when we come back, college football headlines, are we going to feel sorry for Bo this weekend? Is anybody? No,
I definitely won't. Georgia, no. Sympathy
Florida?
For me.
No. No. I think we're good.
No.
I don't know if I've ever felt sorry for Bo. Brings it on himself.
What?
I want to see your face this week, and I want you to record yourself watching the Georgia-Florida game.
Get a Twitch. Get on Dial-On's Twitch.
We beat Kentucky, so it's all
good. You can stream with me, Bo.
Live stream.
You come over. We can stream together.
You'll have to look really hard to find yourself in his 32-inch TV.
I can't live in a world where I can only watch one game at a time.
No, he has a bigger TV now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Thank you.
I actually have a story about that television.
No!
Oh, I hope Denzel's not listening. Okay, yeah. College football headlines and some sad TV news when we come back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Before we get to college football, Dylan,
I have a very short story.
A loyal listener.
A very short story.
A friend of mine. Yeah. Was like, hey, I heard Dylan needs a TV. I've got an extra one. We talked about it on the show. Friend of the show, Denzel, you went and picked up this TV, and now you just told us before going to break.
He give you a busted TV, Dylan.
Something happened.
That TV busted.
Yeah, it actually was. It actually was a little busted. Long story short, got the TV, set it up, plugged it in, and, well, he already told me that he had to find the remote, which was fine. So how we tested it out was I hooked up my laptop, fired up the Hulu Plus Live TV, plugged the HDMI cord into the TV so it would obviously screen share, and for like a half a second, the full screen showed. But then right after that, the top half of the screen went black.
Was he still there?
No, I was at home.
He started smoking.
I had already picked up the TV, and I just picked up the TV myself.
No.
And then,
man.
And I tried to, like, do some things to maybe rework it.
So we're back down to solo vision.
So, yeah, we're back to swapping, moving TV from room to room.
TV to the bedroom.
No, we
got to
get this man a TV.
But it was totally fine. I didn't obviously.
This man took a trip to Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
He can afford a TV, all right? But the second thing is Denzel used you as his personal trash man. He's like, hey, I got this TV you can take.
I don't want to pay that dump fee.
Don't worry about it. It's free, man.
He didn't want to leave it out by the curb. So
Denzel,
I
do not see it that way. Bo Morgan's beliefs are not my beliefs.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm gonna tell you something.
Hot dog and wine night.
I like Denzel. He's a friend. He is a friend of the show. I feel like he's one of my friends, and I don't even know him. Yeah. But I'm gonna tell you something. When a guy says, "Let me give you this to you," it's extra. I don't need it, and it's busted. And he's like, "Hey man, no take backs.
Got to have a conversation."
He used you as a trash service.
Yeah, got to have a conversation.
So I'm gonna bring you in a green vest, and you can wear it around. All right,
it doesn't add up if he went to a storage unit and brought it out. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like at home.
Yeah,
it's a Lemony Snicket, man.
I bet
it's
he don't have that storage unit no more. Events. He's probably like, "Yeah, clean that storage unit out. Got to get rid of that TV."
Denzel, I just want to say this: if you are listening, I do appreciate it, and unfortunately the TV didn't work, but it's okay. It's all good. I appreciate the kind gesture. Right.
Dylan Wall says $25 because that's what the dump charges for you to show up.
Let's get to college football.
What was number four?
Number three, Penn State.
Hit the wrong hotkey.
Wow.
All right. Good morning. So if you missed it, Lane Kiffin, you know, he's known to make some comments to the media about whatever it is that's weighing on his mind. He's always been pretty open about that. And so he had some thoughts about his upcoming matchup this coming weekend. And yes, did you want to...
Well, I think the comment actually is about the following week. He'll be facing off with Georgia. So it's actually Georgia, Ole Miss week next weekend, and Bama, LSU, who are on byes this week. So
this leads me to his comment on the kickoff time then, which is set for 3:30. So that would be Georgia, Ole Miss at 3:30. And he has an issue with that because of what the night game is. Let's take a listen.
And they just announced the November 9th kickoffs, 2:30 for y'all against Georgia. So you got two morning, two afternoon kicks left. From your perspective or coaching perspective, is there any advantage at all to playing day to tonight kickoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's proven over time in NFL and college. You know, playing at night in electric atmospheres is a home field advantage, and tough when you got to do that as a opposing team. So that's been proven for a long time, and so who went at night? LSU gets to play at night again, I guess. Shocker. So that's two for two for them. It is an advantage. I feel bad for our fans, you know, not have one night conference game is really unfortunate for them. And so whatever. It's just really disappointing, but it is what it is.
I wonder – like Ole Miss never plays at night, it feels like, especially with a team like Georgia coming to town, you would have thought. But, you know, LSU, Bama is just one of those games that I don't know. I honestly, I'm a Bama guy, and I would have rather seen Georgia, Ole Miss at night.
Maybe Lane shouldn't have lost two games.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I know LSU's lost two now at this point, but
I was going to say Bama has two. So.
Guess what? They're brands. You're not.
I don't know what the schedule was. I can't remember the complete schedule last year, but when I had Ole Miss, Alabama, it was an afternoon game.
Yeah, it was 3:30. So. Yeah,
it was 3:30.
It was a 3:30. But that's usually the prime spot anyway when it was on CBS. So
it's a prime spot for TV ratings, and that's why it ends up being the way it is. But he has been talking about this for a while. He wants night games for Ole Miss, and they never get night games. In LSU, it's nighttime in Death Valley. Like, they get them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this is the worst version of Lane for me. Like,
I didn't mind it at all.
I like happy, petty Lane Kiffin. I don't like sulky, sad Lane. Well, yeah, who got it? LSU. Oh, yeah, man.
Shocker.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, guess what, Lane? If you wanted a night game against Georgia, maybe you shouldn't have lost to Kentucky. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the hell to tell you. I get it, though, but
you're saying he's not in your driver's seat for the Florida job next year. That's what you're saying?
I mean, when Billy Napier...
Put you on the spot.
I'll be honest with you. Because I know you're always honest with me, and you tell me every time you speak. I have enjoyed the progress that Florida has made as a team overall, and I think that Billy Napier handled the DJ Lagway, Graham Mertz situation as well as he could. I would hate to make a change and then see the top quarterback recruit of the 24 class walk somewhere else and with NIL money because you just couldn't have a fourth year and you wanted to pay a $30 million buyout.
Good point.
All right, well, this news coming out. In an Instagram post, Michigan quarterback Jack Tuttle announced that he is retiring. This is after suffering the fifth concussion of his college career. So I don't know if anyone other than probably the people internally or the people that he's closest with probably saw this coming. But this was big news yesterday.
Yeah, this he was the backup last year for their national title team. He had I think he had elbow surgery, UCL, something like that.
He did have UCL repair.
And so it's unfortunate, but this is a guy, Jack Tell's been around. He's been around college football forever. Year number 7 for him, I want to say. So it's unfortunate. The injuries start to pile up. He's got to look after his health, and it is what it is. Michigan's still in search of a quarterback, it feels like. They've played 3 different guys this year, and so that switch continues, as Bobby Boucher would say.
Yeah, he's Utah in 18. He played for Indiana for 3 or 4 seasons, and then 2 in Michigan. Yeah, he's
long in the tooth.
He's a couple years from being that tight end at Miami.
Yeah.
Cam Rising's on his trajectory as well.
another matchup this weekend. You got Penn State and Ohio State. The Buckeyes rank 4, and Penn State has a lot of questions looming over the status of their quarterback Drew Aller, who will be a game time decision for this matchup. And so Coach Franklin said it's too early to tell at this point, but he's played enough football that I think the decision will go all the way up to game time. He did leave their previous game against Wisconsin with a lower body injury. So that was around the first half. So.
Yeah. Drew Aller's been good this year, and his backup played fine, played okay. But
say that man's name.
The offensive coordinator?
No, the backup.
Oh, Bo. His name's Bo.
That's right.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right. You know,
I was going to say, man, this offensive coordinator's done a good job at Penn State. I can't say his name. Kotelniki, I think.
Is it Pribula?
Pribula.
Pribula?
Yeah.
Bo Pribula. The man's name is Bo. It's BEA Beautiful, just like me.
BEA. Man, is that what your mama said all these years? Jeez. All right. Anyways.
He said BEA Beautiful.
Yeah. It's good. That's going to be a matchup of who's fraudulent, who's not fraudulent in the top 5. We're going to find out this weekend. But that's going to be a fun matchup for sure, and that's going to tell you a lot about what the Big Ten is moving forward and who is actually Oregon's competition coming out of that game. So we'll see, but it is what it is, man. Hopefully Drew Aller can get back in service.
Yeah, the fighting Mike Contis need him.
We are.
So we discussed here if the way the Falcons are winning games on the defensive side of the ball, is it sustainable with the takeaways that they've been putting up, but the lack of the pass rush? You said it was based on matchups. That is what Mikey P had to say.
Got good news about that, Tiff.
So good news because they face the Cowboys this weekend?
Maybe.
All right,
maybe.
We'll discuss when we come back here on the Morning Shift. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We'll be right back. We're in our 7 o'clock hour, and it is brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean.
Tiff, you know how some things pop up in the commercial break, and you're like, man, we should have talked about that. Walk back to talk to Dylan about something, and he's like, yo, I'm actually friends with Jack Tuttle. I'm like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't that have not popped up when we're talking about Jack Tuttle?
I was thinking about chiming in, but then it started to move on, and I was like, nah, I'm going to let it slide. I'm going to let it slide, see if it comes back up. But, yeah. So
interesting. Okay.
So my cousin, he ended up playing college football at Wisconsin for a time. He unfortunately had to deal with a lot of injuries too, but he played at Wisconsin, and him and Jack Tuttle, he was my cousin, Kay, shout out to Kay. He was a wide receiver. Jack Tuttle, obviously a quarterback. They played, it was a form of like little league. I don't think they played like middle school or high school together because they were playing together when they both lived in California.
Like 7-on-7 ball or something.
Yeah. So when I went to California one year, my cousin and obviously my aunt and uncle, they all introduced me to the Tuttle. So I met Jack, his sister, their family. They're such nice people. I can't say enough nice things about them. So this is unfortunate to hear about Jack. But, yeah, I was at their house, swimming in their pool. Like, we were tight.
Are you actually friends or is this a one-time thing?
No, I'm saying I was friends. Like, I haven't talked to him in years, but we were tight.
Interesting.
We were
man.
Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Did not have that a bingo card today. That's cool though.
You're not gonna say something hateful? I was just waiting for.
Oh really? Oh, so I'm sorry. Am I the only one that heard that?
I heard it.
did you? Am I the one that called it? That said
that
to
question?
Dylan this morning. Can you be a hoop head if you're terrible at basketball?
Yeah, you did say that too, and I still kind of heard about it.
You are?
Yeah,
that's
a little
unfortunate.
Bit. A little salty.
Also, you took more shots in 30 minutes than me yesterday than Mike did in 3 hours.
you took a lot of shots.
And I'm going to tell you something.
Wait on
something.
The last third of the show.
He was off to a hell of a lead. He was a big lead, and you just shrunk that lead like in no time.
I had to catch up.
Speaking of lead, our buddy Bryce hit me up on the gram. He's like, "Don't let Bo steal that, man. That'd be a beautiful. That's from Bruce Almighty. Don't let him try to take over that.
You know,
you can't have that. Not from Bruce Almighty."
The first time I ever heard that is there was a coach at Kennesaw State, Coach Engel. He actually took him to their D2 college basketball title back in the mid 2000s. And I was in class with I think I had class with like all three of his sons, and I hung out with one of them. And one of his sons, we were playing. It was in softball class in college because I had a class of softball. I'm not gonna lie, sports man,
underwater basket weaving.
It's a great class.
Also had tennis. Also had tennis, but
I had volleyball.
I'm at the plate, and like I'm hitting, and the guy's throwing it to me. You know, it's pitching to me. And the first thing he goes, beautiful as I go to swing. So I took that. I actually took it from him. He took it from Bruce Almighty.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Dylan, what was that drop where Bo goes, if that was a social media post, I wouldn't have read it? That was exactly what just happened there. It was a roundabout way of getting to that story.
Yeah, that doesn't work when you do it like that. Yeah, you're kind of witty like me.
Yeah, okay. So,
I'm glad it happened or sorry it happened. Either way, I'm not reading
not
all
reading
that.
All
I'm not
that.
Reading all that.
So on to the Falcons, who take on the Cowboys this weekend. We've been discussing if the way they're winning games is sustainable. And we're talking about the defense, the amount of takeaways they've had, still trying to generate that pass rush. But Mike had said it was matchup-based, so this weekend it is the Cowboys.
Yeah. Well, and Bo and I both had the same reaction, kind of working our way through all that stuff and talking about matchups, and I think we both kind of looked it up at the same time. We're like, what does the Cowboys, rushing yards look like? What's the YP? What's the yards per carry? Worse than the NFL. Worse than the NFL. Like
I don't know why that was the way you just said.
Worse in the NFL, Tiff. Like half of what Baltimore's ripping off right now. Cowboys at 3.4 yards per carry, and Baltimore obviously the best. I think it's 6.2. So this is where all the stuff comes. But when Jerry Jones gets the questions about why you didn't sign Derrick Henry. And I love the fact, by the way, that Jerry Jones was like, Derrick Henry wouldn't be having that success here. Sure, yeah. Like, let me just put this as honest as I can here. That's a product of what
not
they got going on in Baltimore.
Well, not even our.
I'll tell you this. Going into last week, our second option in Tyler Allgeier in the running game had more yards than Rico Dowdle does now. That's how bad. In fact, I'll tell you, Atlanta's averaged 100. We are now averaging right around 121 yards a game on the ground, which it looks pedestrian compared to the 200 that the Ravens and Derrick Henry are averaging.
It's ridiculous.
Now, Lamar is obviously a big part of that, and I think it's important to point that out. But still, you go back and look at Dallas is pedestrian 74, which Mike said is the worst in the league. I mean, it is bad. But now, look, because Dallas is a team that's 3-4, they have won games, they've had to flip it the other way, where they're one of the better throwing passing teams in the league, but so are we. We're 251 yards a game with Kirk. I mean, you go look at Kirk's numbers, and it's kind of snuck up on us, Tiff, and I know it's inflated a little bit by almost 800 yards against one team in two games, but the fact of the matter is, Kirko's got 2,100 yards and 14 touchdowns, and we're halfway through the season. He's on his way to right around 30 touchdowns if it holds up, and 4,200 yards.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting the dynamic that has kind of switched. You go back to watch the Pittsburgh game that we played in to start the year. It does not even look like the same team on the field, and it's like all the same players, and it kind of leaves you scratching your head, leaves you upset about what you did see against Pittsburgh. Let me ask you guys this, because one of the things I can't wrap my head around the Cowboys, and it's not like I've watched every snap, but Dak Prescott's career, he's been able to run the ball a little bit. And that is something that has just completely left this offense. And I think that's one of the things that if I were the offensive coordinator of Dallas, I would look to get back into. I'm pretty sure, and I don't know this for certain, at this point, Kirk Cousins might have more rushing yards than Dak Prescott does this year. Which is unbelievable, because I think we saw his first rushing attempt this past weekend, and he got 13 yards, and then he got a QB sneak. So Dak is probably, from what I'm looking at, Dak's probably right around 20, actually, now that I see it. He had a 12-yard rush a couple weeks. That's unbelievable. When you think about how mobile he's been throughout his career and how well he moves, it just seems like a zone read every now and then might kind of serve this offense to do some good things.
I wouldn't disagree with that, and I'm kind of surprised by the number that you just said there, because we have seen him be mobile or get quarterback design runs, but also he has the ability to extend plays as well. I just don't know what's going on with their offense. I don't even know if they do.
Oh. Well, Dak was he was running quarterback at Miss State. In fact, he was because Dan Mullen was his guy, and he was in a lot of ways kind of like a Tim Tebow type player. I mean, it's on. You can go back and watch the film. That's how he was used. Now he threw it more. He's clearly a better passer than Tim Tebow ever was at any point in his career.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the way he was used. Now that's also the offense he was used in. But I wonder how much of it, because wasn't it?
Well, the ankle too. He's coming off the. I know he, and not to say he's still injured. Clearly he's playing, but ahead of the season he still had to wear that boot on it when he wanted to go on the boat because of to keep the swelling down and stuff. So sorry,
he had to go
deep sea fishing or whatever it was. He had to keep the swelling down. So maybe the ankle is somehow factoring into limiting him somewhat and the ability to.
I think a lot of it has to do with maybe the ankle, but some of the zeros now attached to the back of his name, where it's like, how much do we want to put this guy in harm's way?
Well,
and it's a law of diminishing returns at a certain point. And to me, I don't want that to be the one thing that pops up against the Falcons that you're like, boy, they really had a coming out party on the ground with Dak. That scares me, because eventually you got to get back to the things you do. And that's just, when you look at his rushing numbers this year, he hasn't had more than two attempts in any game. So it's kind of a head scratcher in terms of what they've been actually asking him to do.
Well, I think a lot of it goes back to 2020 too, when he did have that devastating ankle injury and he missed a ton of time. I'm sure at some point some of that stuff comes back and you're like, is it worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze where I'm going to run more than I need to? And I don't blame guys for shutting it down when you've been injured like that, because you go back and this is the worst rushing year of his career other than the injury, and it's far and away.
Yeah.
I mean, he still ran the ball to a good extent even after the ankle injury. And to only have run it 10 times halfway through the season, it's almost halfway. They did have their bye week already. It is a little bit odd, but I don't know. That's their problem. I don't really give a crap. I mean, I hope the problem continues for them this week.
Well,
I'm be honest with you. Yeah, like you said, I'm be honest with you. I don't care who they have and who they don't have. My goal at the end of this week is to be 6-3.
Well, and that's the thing, is we started this conversation talking about matchups for the Atlanta Falcons. While the Atlanta Falcons have not been great against the run, they haven't been dead last the way the Cowboys' offense is right now. And so that leads you to believe maybe, all right, looking at the bright side of this, you can catch these Cowboys in a second, 9, and a third, and 7. And maybe that's when we can get back to playing the brand of football that we've asked for, where you actually can tee off and find them in obvious passing downs, which we haven't done a good job of.
I also think your offense maybe changes the way teams play you as the game goes on. And when I mean the way they play you, I don't mean anything about their defense. I mean the way their offense. And I wonder if some of that crept in last week with Tampa Bay, because you're down 14-7. You are able to get off the field, right? You tie it, and then they give you the ball back. And you're up 7. I think it's 17-14, or it's 20. It was 21. No, what was it? You kicked a field goal.
You got it 24-17.
24-17. That's what it was. So it was 21-14, and they kicked the field goal, and you're able to go down right before the half and make it a full touchdown. And I wonder if teams are starting to look at that and say, hey, their offense is starting to click. You know, Kirk is starting to feel that rhythm. We're gonna have to score with them, and I
look at it complete opposite. I'm gonna run the ball and keep him off the field is the way I would do it.
That's the way a lot of people would look at it. But you know how pass happy these offensive coordinators are these days.
Which star player is set to make a return, and it could be a difference maker for his team at the right time? We're going in the huddle to give you the details on the other side in the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the morning shift, before we go to in the huddle, I get to be a judge this evening.
Uh-oh.
If you guys were, wondering.
Hopefully it is someone's fate's not it.
It's not. If that were the case, I'd hope it would be you.
Are you sentencing, or what's going on?
No, I'm judging. It's called Costumes on the Wolf, and it is at the new Overstory, the hotel. That's up in Duluth, Overstory Rooftop. So I believe it is a Westin. And so it is benefiting charity, No Kill Shelter, Angels Rescue. So I will be a judging dog Halloween costumes. So,
is that a popular thing? Do you have one for your dog?
He's had one in the past. Like he has a lion's mane that.
Oh, that's solid.
I might throw on him if I bring him up there with me today. but yeah. So it should be a pretty cool event.
Tiffany, is there any specific costume that you could see on a dog that could find a special way into your heart?
Ooh. Well, there was one. Someone, Denzel, actually sent it to me yesterday. A three-legged dog, which I have a soft spot for three-legged dogs, for tripods. And the dog had an IHOP shirt on.
That's good.
Because he was, you get it?
At least he sends you pictures. He sends Dylan broken TVs.
This is factual. I hate to say it, Denzel, but this is factual.
I don't want
to
do a hard,
Do you dress Sprinkles up?
Yeah. We got her a Yoda costume one time, and it's really just a shirt, and, you know. But, yeah, we do dress her up sometimes for special events. Amy, I'm sure, had something on the way. There was, I think she had a witch costume one time, a little hat, you know. So, yeah.
I guess. Oh, so you buy inflatable stuff for your kids? Giant, like you don't. You seem to be all into Halloween. You don't stick like a little hat or something on your dog.
No, can't say that I have. Oh, but I mean,
Scrooge of Halloween.
Just kidding. We bought him a birthday hat, and that didn't stay on, but for 10 seconds, we sang him happy birthday, and he hated it. So yeah, costume wasn't going to be in the works. Really. Plus, he's like 80 pounds. You're like, dude, like you know what I mean?
You can find
high
stuff.
Thread count.
You can find stuff.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
Real quick, I know we got to hit the blitz or the huddle or whatever we do on this show, NFL segment-wise.
I've been doing the show for 2 years.
It's alarming how often you call it the blitz. We've been doing the show for 2 years.
Well, I did another show for like 5 years, and it was called the blitz, so just forgive me. So, Mr. Yo just sent the video of Kirk scrambling, and I did not realize how unathletic he fell to the ground because I think it's Winfield grabs his leg. And Kirk doesn't
kill his spot.
He doesn't dive forward. He just immediately hits his knee.
No, the best part is the double pump fake. Go back and watch the double pump fake from Kirk. It's who are you pump faking?
I'm watching it on loop.
It's just so
good. Like he's throwing at the defender.
I love it, man.
But you know what?
Dude, I was like, yes, go, Kirk. Go.
Hold on a second. The double pump works.
Yeah.
Because
get somebody in the air.
Because the defender does this. He starts turning around. He's like, wait. Oh, no, here you go.
Doug Flutie back there for the Atlanta Falcons.
I don't know what was worse, his fall or the fact that he got someone with a double pump fake. That is,
a beautiful thing,
I've got to identify this player.
I want
to
see it
walk into
more.
Your trap, take over your trap.
Yeah, that's what he did. Goodness.
All right, I want to correct myself, too. It is the Westin Gwinnett and a Westin Atlanta Gwinnett, and it is at Overstory Rooftop Bar. So it is benefiting charity, a no-kill shelter, Angels Rescue.
Josh
Hayes.
Did
you find what you were looking for? Okay,
Josh Hayes is the guy that not only – the funniest part, Tiff, is the guy that he beat with the fake is the guy that ended up turning around in the exact same spot and tackling him.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, let's go in the huddle. The San Francisco 49ers, their running back, Christian McCaffrey, who had one of his best careers back in 2023. He has not yet – played this season due to it was some sort of Achilles thing, right? Or not Achilles, excuse me.
It was Achilles tendonitis.
Tendonitis. Thank you.
Tendonitis of the Achilles.
Achillinitis. Well, head coach Kyle Shanahan had a positive update saying he is going to hit it hard with simulated practice workouts this week. And if all goes well, the team is hoping to get McCaffrey back at practice next week. So that is a really good sign for them, especially if he can rejoin this team that has had some ups and downs, but coming off the win on Sunday Night Football. But it would be great for them to have their main guy back.
Yeah, and they got Ricky Pearsall back after losing Ayuk. Debo is healthy, it appears.
He looked explosive last weekend.
Week 10 is what they're eyeing, so...
The NFC West is an interesting division because you have like this weird kind of tie at the top between Arizona, San Francisco, and Seattle, and the Rams are only a game out at 3-4.
So and they look like world beaters last week.
It's a weird. It's a kind of a logjam at the top. And man, there's some good teams in the NFC right now, because Detroit, Green Bay, and Minnesota are all up there in the North. But San Francisco getting healthy should scare some people, I would think.
A lot of people.
The rich get richer, it feels like, when you look at that situation. And there's a number of things like that, honestly. When you're teams and everything else going on with some of the best teams in the NFL, you're like, man, like, these guys are starting to get healthy, and they've still been winning, which is unfortunate. But,
that's
yeah,
scary.
Man. Christian McCaffrey, listen, the NFL is just more fun when Christian McCaffrey's part of it with San Francisco. I'll just say that. And I think it's scary for the teams that are playing them, man. And, look, he was – I didn't think he'd be out as long as he is, but nonetheless, happy to hear that he's on the mend at least and making a run back at it soon.
And the fact that it will be estimated to be just over the halfway point, so which is what the late.
Oh,
late
great! Just to
push,
take
right,
you know, just to take a bunch of hits off his shoulders and limit his minutes, so he'll be fresh down the stretch. No big deal.
Give Kyle credit, because the fact that he's able to keep this team afloat with all the injuries at 4-4. Give Brock Purdy credit. You know, give Bosa credit, give the defense credit. I mean, give everybody in that locker room, coaching and players, credit. They have stayed afloat, and they might get back, you know, the biggest trade pickup in the NFL, and they didn't even trade anybody for him.
Yeah, it's a good call.
Not this time, anyways.
So tempers were running a little bit high after the Denver Broncos beat the Panthers 28-14. Panthers cornerback J.C. Horn, he confronted head coach Sean Payton of the Broncos on the field and accused him of trying to run up the score on the Panthers, who are now 1-7 after the loss. So he did not like Payton's play calling in the fourth quarter, at which point the game was already well in Denver's control and out of reach for Carolina. Well,
did Payton use the excuse he heard for his quarterback this time? I mean, I would just be shocked. I don't know what J.C. Horn's thinking. Sean Payton's never, ever ran a score up on anyone at any point.
The trick plays that probably set him off, because they were up 28-7 by the fourth quarter, then they ran two trick plays. So
how many screams at Cortland Sutton for fumbling the football when he's running up the score? And then using the guise of, well, we got to learn how to finish.
Well, and let's add all this into the fact that what he said after the game was that let's be honest, that wasn't a very good team we played. Like, dude, like he's just so out of pocket with some of the stuff he says. And I have a healthy amount of respect for what he is as a football coach. But you add that to, like, the Nathaniel Hackett comments and some of the choke signs he's given over the years and some of the things he's done. It's like, dude, I'm a benefit of the doubt kind of guy, but at some point I've got to stop giving you the benefit of the doubt. You don't have to be that guy that after you win comes out and says they're not very good. That's just like, there's no point in that, dude. Like, what's the
it's who
what's
he
the
is.
Point?
It's who he is. He's all, you know, we're always going to be around people and have different opinions of them, and that's fine. He just is a very hateful person, and that's all there is to it. There's nothing that – I've never seen anything come out that made me thought otherwise. Not even the fake-ass Kevin James movie that they put on Netflix about him in his life when he was suspended.
Moving on, the perfect Kansas City Chiefs, 7-0 on the season, are making more moves. So they already acquired receiver DeAndre Hopkins, who got in action this weekend when they played the Raiders. Now they traded a 2026 sixth-round pick to the New England Patriots in exchange for edge rusher Josh Uche. So now he's going to go help to bolster up the Chiefs defense. That's one of the best in the league this season.
He's taking his two sacks to Kansas City.
So, yeah.
Well, a lot of people thought he had tied him to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have taken his two sacks here.
Oh, hell, I would have too. I mean, I'm not, that wasn't a knock. The fact that he would have been the leading sack.
Yeah.
Lead. It was just brutal. But anyways, look, Kansas City I don't want to time anybody. I don't know what Andy Reid's future is in coaching. I think he's having the time of his life, and I think the only thing that dude wants to do is draw up plays and eat cheeseburgers. And you know what? I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But
he's pretty good at both.
It does feel like they are saying, hey, we got to get while the getting's good. We're good, but we're not great offensively. and we're very good on defense, but we're not great. Does this make us great?
I think this is more tight. You bring up Andy Reid. I actually think that the clock is ticking faster on Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce than maybe it is Andy Reid.
Because I don't think maybe not both.
I don't think Pat Mahomes is going to play for it. The guy's already in the Hall of Fame. He's already won multiple Super Bowls and MVPs and everything else. Like, I don't think he's a guy that's going to play 20 years. I don't think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
I would think Travis Kelce is going to retire before.
I do too. I think both of them. I'm not sure they won't leave at the same time.
Mahomes is only 29, though. I mean, he's got.
Dude, I'm just saying. I think Luke Kuechly career for him.
Right.
Like, that's what I think.
You've made your money. You've got hella endorsements.
Got young kids at home. Like I just. Yeah, I don't know.
Third kid or
three more years, maybe.
On the way.
I look at a guy that. I look at him and he's never. Knock on. Dylan, go there and knock on that door real quick. Knock on wood for him. He's never had a serious injury in the NFL. He's having fun. I just don't see a guy that's going to walk away. Now, if Andy left, I could see him questioning staying.
Can you imagine if all three go at the same time? Oh, man.
Well, I'd love it for us, but not for them.
Zero res, smart, lasting, clean. What you got for Mic'd Up?
Well, Tiff, we're going to talk about the Hawks when we come back and the letdown that was against Alex Saar and the Washington Wizards last night. And then you mentioned the NFL trades that are going on right now. I've never been more jealous of possibly a fan base and a head coach with the reaction we saw up north yesterday. We'll talk about that coming up on the other side. Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game.
We are back here on the morning shift. Dylan.
Yes.
Do you have any time to reflect over me saying you have poor basketball skills?
I do have time to reflect, and I just would like to say that I'm a lot better than you think, Tiff. And the fact that you are ready to judge my game off just a few highlights is a little bit shocking coming from you, to be honest, and a little bit hurtful.
Have you ever went 2 of 15 from the field after hitting your first two shots?
No.
Me too.
I stay hot. Once I get hot, Bo, I stay hot. Once I get hot, I stay hot.
You talking about, yeah, anyone in particular, Bo?
No.
No,
not really.
No.
You sure about that? The box score would say you're talking about somebody pretty specifically.
I mean, look, I'm it was a rough night for the Hawks last night. I'm not going to get on here and crush or kill Trey. I just
121-119.
Yeah, at the end of the game,
the Wizards.
Trey missed a game winner, which those aren't easy shots to make. No, I feel bad because it's kind of BS for me. I don't mind guys playing back-to-backs. I'm okay with it. I think, though, that teams should play back-to-backs together. So the problem
for
me...
They're both coming in having played games. That's what you're saying.
Washington sat in Atlanta in a hotel on Sunday night, Tiff, while Atlanta was playing one of the best teams in the league in Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
I think that's garbage. I think it's garbage the fact that the Hawks had to fly home and turn around and play while they were at Magic City having fun, eating wings. That I don't like that. I think that's garbage. And so when Trey
Well,
comes,
you know, Alex Saar doesn't like Atlanta. That's what I was
yeah,
told.
Yeah, you know, what I mean? And hey, credit to the fans that went there last night.
Yeah.
Booed him every time he touched the ball.
I love it.
Because he didn't want to work out here. But to me, like, I'm not going to sit here and I brought it up to say, that just show, you know, this tired legs. Trey played great in Oklahoma City. And they were in that game for a long amount of time, and it's kind of got away at the end, but that's a really good Oklahoma City team. It just frustrates me that we have to do that, and then now Trey will get criticized for it, for people that didn't even know that they were rested. We weren't. Look, NBA players should play back-to-backs. It's NBA. I agree with Chuck and Shaq on these things. However, if one team's doing it, they both should be doing it. And they're playing. If they're playing a back-to-back, they should.
Well, either
both be
that, or it should be back-to-back at home, right? If you're going to have back-to-back games, make them both home games.
Agreed. Agreed.
And to your point, there are what, five guys on the injury list before the game last night: DeAndre Hunter, Bogey, Kobe Bufkin, Onyeka, and then Vic Krejci, the legend, gets hurt there in the first half. Then all of a sudden, you're in a situation with Zachary Risache, where I think he's probably on a minutes crunch right now, and you're not playing him. Garrison Matthews getting a ton of minutes, so. It's just a team, and even with all that said, you had a shot at the end for Trey, kind of pulling a step, you know, step through three that's not able to get home, not able to get it done. As 7.5-point favorites, by the way, ding.
And Risache played pretty good Sunday night. I think it's probably his best game as a pro early, but best game so far.
Up next for them, it's the Sacramento Kings, that game on Friday.
Let's hit them mic'd up.
And they play Washington again on Wednesday.
They play Washington again on Wednesday. So, look, I got to be honest. We were just talking about the trade that Kansas City made from New England, right? And this, like, when you get towards the trade deadline in the NFL, it's like edge rushers and wide receivers are baseball's version of a power hitter and
relievers.
A reliever, right? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get, like, we need back into the bullpen help.
Or
you got to shut the door in the eighth.
Or that fifth starter.
Right.
Or a flamethrower.
Everybody that plays fantasy baseball, if you have a closer, you're always terrified because you're like, dude, my closer's going to get traded at the deadline, and he's going to become a setup man, and there's no more saves. All right, so a lot of this news is kind of coming down. Well, yesterday, Dan Campbell stepped to the podium, all right, and he was excited.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, could be.
What do you think of no, seriously, though, has he come to you with something?
Yeah, could be.
All right. What you hear there is Dan Campbell being asked, come to you with any possible trades. And that little thud you heard right there at the end, that's him jumping up and down like my four-year-old son. Yeah, boom. Yeah, could be. Smiling. In that moment, guys, I got to be honest with you. I don't think the Falcons are going to make any trades. I haven't set myself up for the Falcons to make any trades as far as any edge rushers go. And Lord knows we've heard every name under the sun, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, all these other guys, right? But I don't think it's going to happen. So when I looked at Dan Campbell and I looked at how gritty and how tough that team plays and how well they've been playing on both sides of the ball, and I thought about the fact that they could have lost a guy named Aiden Hutchinson, and it sounds to me like adding a pretty elite edge guy possibly, if not another position, a little bit of jealousy, man. A little bit of jealousy to how excited he might have been in that situation.
Who do you
situation.
Think that yeah, could
be? I don't know. I mean, look, I think any Lions fan's going to tell you, it's Max Crosby. It's
That's
happening.
What I know. That's what I was thinking.
If I was Max Crosby, I'd want to go.
Mark Davis came out and said that they wouldn't be trading him before or after, which equates to never, but you never, you know, I don't rule
I'd
anything
out. I'd want to go there if I was him. Why wouldn't you want to play for that team?
Don't even think
not
about
that he
this year.
But why would the Raiders want to get, I mean, you would not want to get rid of a player like that.
No, not for a late first round pick would be the best you could get. But imagine that next year. Imagine Aiden Hutchinson and Max Crosby. What kind of nicknames could you ask?
Do you remember when we talked, and Raheem talked about the PFF grade for Arnold Ebuchadie, and I looked at it, and the number one edge in the NFL in that moment. So he gets hurt, and you're going to bring in – I don't know who it's going to be. I don't think it's Max Crosby, but that would be cause for Dan Campbell to jump up and
That's
down on the stage in a
say.
Press, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like that would – like you look at the smile.
Could and,
yeah, could be.
That's my favorite thing in the world about the PFF crowd is they'll use why someone sucks – but then when you give them a grade to say that's why that guy is better than you think, they'll be like, no.
I don't know. Doesn't involve everything.
Appreciate – I just love how candid Dan Campbell is. And dude. So you don't – usually people tiptoe around trade rumors or trade talk or the coach is going to be like, hey, refer those GM or maybe something generic like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Raheem's – we're always looking. Yeah, we're always looking.
Yeah, I liked his his
too.
Candor. His
I
response.
Did too.
You like how Raheem wears his pants on the sidelines?
What?
Kind of pulls them up.
What?
Never noticed it.
He pulls them up a little bit. And
got the joggers on? Is that what
he pulls the joggers up a little bit.
I don't mind it. It's
I don't
the
either.
Mike McDaniel look.
I think it's comfortable, man. I've done it before.
Listen, between that and Bama fans wonder, you know, Nick's always worn a polo on the sideline. They've been losing their mind over Kalen DeBoer wearing a lightweight hoodie. It's just ridiculous.
Well, Nick Saban wore a pullover. I know he had he had the collar shirt on, but he had a freaking pullover.
Well, look, Bear Bryant wore a suit, so Nick Saban, you know, what are you doing wearing
so
a polo?
So did Gene Stallings.
You know what I mean? So what are we doing?
So you got a national
title times change.
For Gene Stallings.
You guys are crazy. All right, up next, it is the wake-up call. We want to hear from you at 404-726-0929. We've been discussing is the way the Falcons hang on defense – contributing to wins with takeaways, is that sustainable, especially with the Cowboys coming up? Give us your thoughts. Wake Up Call's next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today. and start packing. I was gonna go in one direction, but since you just belched sneakily.
Mike, why don't you do that, man?
Right.
So disgusting. Right. Mike, you're so disgusting.
Listen, y'all are both wrong because, number one, she just aired you out. Number two, you just blamed it on me. I don't even know how I got snaked into this. I'm just trying to talk about football today.
Well, we're not going to do that right now because it's what I want to talk about is Dwayne Wade's statue. So I don't know if you guys.
What is that?
Can we stop with statues?
The memes are killing me, and I just saw another one.
It's just as bad as Cristiano Ronaldo's, if not worse, honestly.
He got replaced, I think, is what I heard.
Please,
they gave that person who built the bus another chance.
It was awful.
And they made a significantly better bust.
Why does Dwayne Wade have to be screaming in the statue bust? Like that's part of the problem.
It's beside the point.
They try to take it maybe an iconic image, but beside the point, the thing is,
are we not to a point where we can use computer technology for this kind of thing?
But my point is, I think it leads to it not looking like the person. Like in this case,
he could have been smiling, whistling, blowing a kid. No matter what they would have done, that wouldn't look like D Wade.
Well, first off, D Wade has hair. The bust doesn't appear to have any hair, so it doesn't look right. It makes him look like...
It is haunting. It is haunting me.
Who was it? Was it Allen Iverson that recently got a statue and it was like the size of the Heisman? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it looked like the Heisman was on display.
So it was the size of Allen Iverson. He's not a very big dude.
Allen Iverson's that small. It was like a 3-foot statue.
He's not that tall.
He used to stay at that hotel over there. In Buckhead by where the Shula's Steakhouse was in.
Yeah.
He used to basically.
Exactly what you're
talking about. I mean, he had like a residency there. I'm pretty sure he lived there because you would, back in the day, you used to do shows from there and you'd see AI just walking in with his crew.
We got our hair done at the same place at the same time. It was really nice, but I showed
y'all sit next to each other
a long time ago. No, I had to get up for him. They were like, somebody's coming in. She didn't tell me who it was, and I was like, great, it's Allen Iverson.
Yeah, you're going to have to move.
Really cool. So like, no problem.
Hey, we're using a special chair on you, and it's not for you.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. You can tell us your thoughts on whether or not the way the Falcons on the defensive side of things are winning games is sustainable. Got a lot of takeaways, still trying to generate the pass rush. We want to hear from you and your thoughts, especially can they sustain that against a team like the Cowboys this weekend?
You think Brian Daboll is on Ozempic?
What?
Because he's lost weight.
You got to stop doing that.
What?
You got to stop doing that.
Like, he's lost a lot of weight. He was on TV just now talking about Daniel Jones's work ethic.
I don't know. Nobody's watching TV right now.
Trying to push.
I don't think so, but it's just like, yo, you are on one today, Bo. First, it was a jogger.
I'm going to turn those I'm going to unplug those things.
Seriously. He also has access to, there's a weight room, training staff, diet.
He didn't use it at Alabama or Buffalo.
I'm just saying, anyone that loses weight nowadays, you don't have to be like, oh, are they on Ozempic?
Well, I mean, that's pretty much the easiest way when it's sudden like that.
Well,
I'm just
saying. I can bring it back to the topic. Do I need to set up the question again since that was hard left?
No.
Okay. Give us your thoughts. Call us for the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. We will go to the lines. We have Chief waiting on us.
Chief!
Whoa. Good morning. What's happening, Chief? You know, that intro, Tiffany, I don't know. You said that like you didn't really mean it. She wasn't up for it today.
It was a little downtrodden. It was a little downtrodden.
For you? To say to the lines to welcome you in? That's what you're saying?
Yeah. That wasn't, I don't know.
What do you want me to do? Rah, rah? You want me to roll out a red carpet for you?
Hold on.
Yeah. You want a slow clap?
Hold on, Whoa. Chief, hold on a second. I'll do it for you. All right, Tiffany, let's get to our wake-up call. We got my man, Chief. Chief, how you doing today?
What's happening, Chief?
That's right. You know what, Tribal Chief? Even when you're wrong, you're right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, even when the Tribal Chief is wrong, he's right. You know,
Chief, give us. Goodness. Do you That's have right. something for us? Are you just calling?
Yes,
to
yes, ma'am. I really do. The Falcon defense, it is sustainable if you can keep scoring 30 points.
There you go.
I got a question for you guys, though. Time is changing this weekend. So, do you prefer falling back? Or springing forward, or just let the time stay the same?
Keep it the same.
Great question. I'll be honest with you. I like when it gets darker
Please
early.
Do.
Yeah. I like when it gets dark early. Why? I wish
What's wrong with you?
Well, I wish it was, honestly, I wish it was a week early because I would love to take my kids trick-or-treating at like 5 o'clock in the dark so I get in bed early. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Like I just hate when it gets dark late. I like it to be in the summer like that. I like it to get dark late. You can spend, you know, your evenings at the pool or whatever. But right now, I'm like, man, just go ahead and knock it out.
Winter
just get
gloominess.
Dark. Get
no.
dark at 6 o'clock. No. I'm fine with that.
To Chief's point about the sustainability of the pass rush lack of or the defense playing, whatever you want to go to, just remember that in 2016, their defense got good at the end of the year. It developed. But they gave up 31, 28, 32, 33, 16, 26, 33, 32, 28, 24. They had the bye week, and then it went back to 19, 29, 14, 13, 16. They did give up 32 in the last game.
That's like 2016's eons ago.
I know it is. I know it is. But the reality is this is the best the offense has looked since probably 2018. And that was an injury-riddled team. So you go back and you look. Defenses can progress throughout the season. That was a terrible defense early in the season. The offense was good. It kept you winning games. And the defense caught up later. That's the point.
I don't like that point.
Well, you don't have to, but you can counter it.
Let's go to the line. Let's go to Anthony in Covington. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Squid Nation in the house.
Let's go, Anthony.
What are we doing?
Yeah, how about
I thought
that,
we had gotten
Mike?
Rid of this.
How about that?
Yeah. Good morning, All-American, and good morning to our local Olympian.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
So I will respectfully disagree with Squid Billy on this one. It is not sustainable because the proof is in the pudding. Yeah. In 2016, yes, we may or may not have been scoring 30 points a game, but you still came up short in your ultimate goal, because the one pass rusher we did have with Vic Beasley at the time, they caught on to it, and we had no other pass rusher, so you were not able to get to your ultimate goal. And yes, we are opportunistic with turnovers right now. Yes, 100 million percent, but I'm going to use a reference with the Braves, right? Record setting year ago with all the home runs. When the well dries up, and you can't score all those points, you got to be able to lean on your defense. I think Terry and Ra are very, very smart. They're not going to let the season go on without making an addition, whether I don't think it's going to be a big move, but there should be a good culture fit, a key fit to come in and help us bolster's pass rush, because I don't think we're going to be able to get to our ultimate goal without solidifying that pass rush.
You know what, man? That's actually, for a guy from Squid Nation, and I'm glad that you disagreed with Bo, because that's pretty much sums up Squid Nation. It's like, yeah, I follow him. I don't know why.
I joined the nation.
Well, because we believe in free thought in Squid Nation. Well, you don't have to fall in line with everything.
Anyway.
Let me just say this about what he had to say. I think there's some truth to that. Where
there is truth to it.
The reason you are 5-3, well, the offense played terribly to start the year. Let me get the wrong, but there is a point, and I would – what's funny is I would love to have something that other offensive coordinators could cue in on, like a Vic Beasley right now. No, you don't have it on either side, right? And so, like, you know, you can say what you want to about Vic's numbers. It's like, oh, they cued in on him. We didn't have any answer. Don't have anything to answer right now, right? And so that's kind of the worry. So I do think once the run defense comes along, the pass rush will get better, because I think you'll find yourself in optimal situations more. But nonetheless, until that happens, we got a lot more questions.
To the other Mike Johnson in Atlanta.
Let's go. Morning. There's a lot of us out there. What's up?
Mike, did they treat you good at Dudley's the other day?
Hey, they treated me like royalty down at Dudley's the other day, man. Had a lot of good time down there.
They should have told you I was there the day before. I had to fly off, so I couldn't come see you. But I told them to take good care of you. You should have got a couple free shots on them, so...
I
paid for you.
I can't confirm or deny on air, my friend, but I appreciate that.
No problem. I hate that I missed you. But, hey, talk about the Falcons, man. You know, I want to be more optimistic on this. Who would have thought we'd start the way we've started? And I think there's more to come, man. I mean, Everybody's beating them up about the pass rush and stuff like that. But, I mean, look at that a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, look at where 2 years ago. I mean, we're playing some good ball. I mean, is it perfect? No. But what NFL team besides the Chiefs, which it's the Chiefs, is playing perfect.
Yeah.
To the point where I think we're starting to develop. So, I mean, I would like to end this call saying, hey, look, there's more to come. You know, if it's a pass rush, it's whatever. Terry and Ron know what they're doing. I promise you that. So, love you guys. Mafia is amazing.
All right, we're going to have to get the Mafia a new set of burner
phones.
Let's go.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Anthony from Covington needed new radials on his tires. We could hear him turning right there. So
maybe,
I don't even want to hear.
He's driving a big truck, man. That's how they sound.
I think he kind of hammered home the way I feel about it. This team at this point, if you'd have said 5-3 to start the year and you'd said 4-0 in the division, you'd have taken it 10 times out of 10. All right, so these teams can develop, they can learn, they can change. Ravens, prime example. You're running the ball down Tampa's throat. Oh, then you get hit by the Browns, right? So there's ups and downs. This team will change. Add some pieces if you need to, but I'm all on board right now.
NFL power rankings. Who's at the top? That's on the other side when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. All right, NFL power rankings, several editions of them are out. We are looking at Josh Kendall, friend of the show, writes for The Athletic and covers the Atlanta Falcons. Here are his power rankings. He's got the Lions at 1, the Chiefs at 2, the Packers at 3, the Bills at 4, Texans at 5, Ravens at 6, and I'm going to scroll forward to see where I can find Atlanta on his list. But
13.
Do you agree with the 13? I was almost there. Is that Seattle?
They're right behind Seattle and right above Tampa Bay, which
do
is
you
interesting.
Agree?
Well, it's interesting that Denver is only at 15. I think Denver probably should be above Tampa Bay right now. Do I agree? I mean, I have no problem with them being behind Seattle because Seattle came in here and beat us like a drum. I have no problem with us being behind Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh beat us. The Eagles, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Philadelphia is overrated, and the only reason why is I don't know what they are. I just don't know what Philadelphia is because 1 week they come out, they look like a world beater last week. They beat Cincinnati handedly, but then you have other weeks where they struggle and that you just don't know who. I just don't know who they are.
I think I know who the Eagles are. The Eagles are an incredible running team when Jalen Hurts is able to run the ball. Saquon obviously is his own animal. That offensive line, that Lord knows I've salivated over them enough on this radio station with some of the guys they bring to the table. When Jalen Hurts is the added element, that team is very, very good.
Is that the Falcons' best win? Not the best win from start to finish, but when you look on, if you looked at the schedule on paper and you looked at the 5 wins, you would say that's the best one. That's the best team they beat. Because I had this conversation. When you go back and you look at all the Falcons' wins, they've only played one team at the time that was under 500. Now, New Orleans is now 2-6. But remember, week 4, New Orleans is 2-1. They were at one point looking like one of the best teams in football at the time. They were hot. I know they just lost a game, but they weren't. That was a brutally tough game against, remember, Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
where it was a physically demanding game, and New Orleans barely lost that game.
Yeah.
And so that's why when I talk to people, I'm like, man, the 5 wins, like this team has beaten some good teams and some teams that were good at the time.
Yeah. And look, man, I agree with you. I think I'm more than okay with the Falcons sitting at 13 right now because, like every team on this list, let's see, let me go all the way up.
I'm at the Cowboys.
The Ravens are at 6, right? I mean, the Ravens are like one of the Super Bowl favorites, in my opinion. When they are playing well, they are unstoppable. Green Bay sitting at 3, I don't love that, to be completely honest. Jordan Love, Malik Willis has done a lot of good things for that team. Seems like they're almost better when Malik Willis is in and their kind of backs are against the wall. So them at 3 is a little bit interesting. But you go all the way up. I mean, the Houston Texans at 5 and the Baltimore Ravens at 6. Most of these teams still have question marks, as do the Atlanta Falcons. But I think it just frustrates me when I look at it, because it reminds me that I think the Pittsburgh game was there for the taking if we were running the same offense that we are running now. Like, this offense has changed so much. What we are asking of this offensive line has changed so much. What Kirk Cousins is doing and how comfortable he is has changed so much since week one that it leaves me wondering if that was just straight up a missed opportunity, or we seriously didn't know what we were doing in week one. I was so frustrated after that loss to Pittsburgh, especially the way they played offensively, that you look at it and go, dude, had we not just scored one touchdown, one extra touchdown, you could have gotten over the hump for that one.
What's the difference in the Texans and the Falcons? Hold on. Before you answer, because I know you got something for me. But the Texans have won one game by more than 6 points. They every game has been close other than the Patriots game. It's a bad team. They've got two losses, and one of which was a blowout in Minnesota. Now, I know that they're 6-2 and you're 5-3. I think you've played a tougher schedule. But every game they've won, 2 points, 6 points, 4 points, 3 points, 3 points. Lost a close game to Green Bay and got blown out by Minnesota. And I told you that they'd beat the Patriots by 20. But why is it a bad thing when the Falcons only win by 2 to 3 points every week, yet Houston doesn't get judged the same way? Is it because Houston was a playoff team last year?
Well, I think Houston at this point looks like they're more well-rounded. Their offense is not as explosive as it was a year ago, for whatever reason. And I know they've had an injury here and there, but C.J. Stroud, Bobby Slowick, that whole crew that we crowned a year ago, they haven't quite been as good, but they feel more well-rounded. Will Anderson has come on. A couple of their players in the linebacking core, obviously they can rush the passer better than the Falcons, as can everybody else in the NFL. So I guess my answer to a lot of that would be like they can do it multiple ways, and I don't think a lot of people think that way about the Falcons right now because of the front seven.
Cowboys are at 22 on this power rankings list, and what Josh Kendall does mention is that the run game is scary, not in a good way, that is. And we talked about it before with the Ravens. Basically, they have tripled the amount of rushing yards that the Cowboys do this season. And so the Cowboys have lost two straight, and they are, of course, last in the league with 519 rushing yards.
Yeah, 74 yards a game is not going very well. Do we – Tiff, you might be able to answer this. Are we too close at times to our teams, and we judge them? Like, as NFL fans, especially in this town, the Falcons fans, I should say, I think sometimes we judge them like a college team, because we forget that, the NFL is a league where you win games. Like, the Texans, Josh has got them, you said third? They're third on the...
The Packers are. The Texans are fifth, I believe.
They're fifth in the power rankings. And they've won games. Now they're 6-2. They're a game better than the Falcons, but their schedule and their wins look just like the Falcons' wins. And we say they're one of the best teams in the league. And now I know they have a pass rush, so that's probably part of it.
But
too.
You're getting at, are we
too harsh on our team? Are we too harsh on the Falcons? And should we be happier when they win and stop trying to look at all the negatives? Enjoy the win for what it is. I think you have to be realistic, but also, we should not be frustrated and wins.
Yeah.
So when you ask about judging them, are you judging them like you would?
Are we
a
too close?
Team,
yeah.
Right?
I think there's
and
a
like,
lot.
Like if yeah. you're talking about judging a college team, I think what you're getting at NFL wise is the fact that it's hard to win in the NFL. Like, these are professionals, even though colleges may be trying to trend that way too now.
Yeah.
But still, these are professionals in this league, and that anyone on any given Sunday, yes, can win. So you should be happy to take a victory. No matter how you get it, and no matter who it's against.
Because
we saw the weekend, you saw the Ravens get knocked off by the Browns, right?
Yeah, like, on the road.
On the road.
A divisional one. NFL should be, did we win? That's the way I've always viewed it. College is like, okay, well, did we win by enough to impress these voters so I get a chance? And that's changing too, to your point.
I think, and that's exactly what I was going to bring up. I've had to have this conversation with some Alabama fans, is that, minus Nick Saban, you have to have an NFL style of thinking, specifically with the 12-game playoff, right, that this thing has pivoted to, and also with the 16-team SEC, right? Because you're not playing every team in the SEC and you're not facing off of these teams. It has to be a, did we get a win? Now, I know that there has to be a quality of play still in college football because that's what you judge everything off of. But there is more with the transfer portal, you know, kind of being free agency, the same way the NFL, and with, you know, these big leagues and the 12-team playoff, like the college football has started to go the way of the NFL. And I think there's some thought to your point about the NFL kind of going to the way of college football and the way we look at it.
Because I'm going to tell you something. The phrase I hate the most right now, my cringeworthy phrase when you talk about football is eye test. Because I don't know what the hell that means.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust most people's eyes. So I don't know. Well, I don't pass eye
test. I feel
like
we don't do that in NFL-wise. I feel like that's only for college.
I hear it.
For
no,
sure.
No, I hear it all the time.
I feel a lot more in college just because of trying to, like you guys said, impress people that are voting.
Yeah.
The way it used to be.
The eye test is a silly comment. You know what's funny is the Chiefs are 7-0. One game they've won by 10 or more points. That was 10 points, and that was against San Francisco. Everything else has been 7-1, 5-7, 3-10. Which was the Niners game, 7. So I don't know who needs to hear this, but one score games in the NFL are kind of what the hell the league is. Speaking of that.
Go ahead, take it away.
Speaking of the league is doing something silly again with animation and a game. And one top draft pick could be benched already. Next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.
We are back here on the Morning Shift. And no, that didn't go out over air. I was hoping.
I know, I didn't turn my mic up.
You're going to disappoint a lot of people out there.
You know, my neighbor texted me. Carter texted me and said, man, Tiffany's just coming at you today. I said, man, that's every day, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
No, it's not.
I got a bad rap yesterday, and I didn't understand it because I felt like I was going gentle on you compared to
the
how
time,
she normally
is. At the time, Tiffany was being, dare I say, sweet.
This means and I then, like you.
And then she just turned on me like just, I mean, just like on a dime. It was like Bajan cutting, making a cut.
Woo!
I will say,
oh,
Tiff.
Oh, no.
The way you took it to another level in the 8 o'clock hour yesterday, you were on a different level than I've even seen you.
Yeah,
in.
She had to play catch up mode.
Yeah, you were definitely in catch up mode. The way you were getting on both.
You know what it was like? You know what it was like? It was like
intervention.
It was like you came off the field and you're in the third quarter, and the coach goes, "Tiffany, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you got to get your head out of your butt because you're not playing well." And you're like, "Oh, I'm coming
I'm
at him.
Step
now.
It up. I'm gonna
and
step
then,
it up."
And then you just like,
"Bo, your shirt is stupid."
Yeah, you just came out like shot out of a cannon. Like all of a sudden, you just had like you just played. You know what? You just finished the game right. I mean, you didn't start the game well, but you finished it. Man, you just crushed it. That's kind of the way you treated me yesterday.
Whoever I'm meanest to, that means you're in good standing.
Yeah, Mike, she must hate you.
Yeah, I'm not in a good spot right now.
Oh, ridiculous.
Or Garrett, she hates Garrett once. She don't even talk to him.
Oh, man.
Garrett, he just walked in the door. I can't just start firing off haymakers.
Dylan, actually, y'all must be buddy-buddy. She was really mean to Dylan earlier.
Yeah, that's true.
Tiffany and I are besties today.
There it is.
Did y'all talk before? Y'all must have talked on your way here or something because you walked in the door and took a shot at Dylan.
No, we did not.
Garrett, you got my chicken nuggets ready? Just say my pleasure, Garrett, like all the other Chick-fil-A employees.
Please.
That's right, little W sauce. You can put it on your Chick-fil-A nuggets. Ask Garrett. He's done it before. The fire shower is really good. And my friends at New Realm Owl Inn Lager. You can get it at Twin Peaks when you're next time you're over there watching Andy and Randy or Dukes and Bell and you're hanging out or you're just having a nice meal. Just say, hey, Squidbilly told me. Give me that Owl Inn. So, all right. Don't forget to November 25th. There are limited spots available. I can say limited. Can you say it? Limited. Yes, right.
What did you say yesterday? You tried to say lackadaisical.
No, that was so funny.
What you said?
Mr. Unlimited.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we don't have unlimited spots, but we do have them available still. Get in there. You can play with us. I know Twin Peaks is going to be a part of it. My friends at New Realm are going to be a part of it. So there's a ton of sponsors that are going to be there. Finley Roofing is going to be a part of it as well. All right. I don't understand ESPN and the NFL and the Disney Plus, and they want to screw up broadcast. They're doing another one. Remember last year they did the Toy Story for the Falcons-Jags
game? Yeah, I thought it was cool.
Well, this year they're going to do another one, and it's going to be a Simpsons-themed broadcast. December 9th, the Monday Night Football, Bengals, Cowboys.
How do you not like The Simpsons?
I love it. I just think this
feels weird that it's a Disney thing. Right? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can watch The Simpsons on Disney Plus.
I know. I just see that seems not the way it was supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was meant to
never
be
designed that way.
Maybe Matt Groening
Bart Simpson just doesn't scream Disney to me. Never has, never will.
Eat my shorts.
I wasn't even allowed to watch Simpsons when I was little.
Oh, I got to watch it.
You watch it.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed. It was too much. Of course, I was like, a lot younger than y'all. No big deal.
It was on while we were probably your age.
You know what? Like, yeah, it's like.
What do you mean, my age before? What does that mean?
I'm saying like.
It's been on since like 1989.
Yeah, it's been on forever. So like when you're saying when you were of an age where you weren't allowed to watch it, we were at that age at one point, and we were still watching it.
Oh. I got to watch
it. The way we are right now.
But then my mom would be like, I can't stand that Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
She didn't like Bart.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of a.
My mom didn't like him either. It's probably why I wasn't allowed to watch it.
I'm going to get in trouble. One of my cousins, my mom used to say that he reminded her of Bart Simpson, but it was used as a negative.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's terrifying.
That personal name, nameless, but yeah, he lived near where I grew up. Dylan has got some audio from me because one head coach is very non-committal on his starting quarterback, who they just drafted less than, just over a year ago. Anthony Richardson decided to take himself out of the game at one point because he ran too much. Doesn't help the fact that he was pretty horrific in the game. He was 10 of 32. Against the Texans defense. They still almost won the game. If he'd have been like 12 of 32, they would have won the game. You never know. But Steichen was asked if they're sticking with Richardson.
Is Anthony your starting quarterback right now or not?
Right now, today, yes.
Just you don't know for the upcoming game if he is a starting quarterback.
We're evaluating.
Does that sound non-committal to you? Because it does to me.
Yes.
I'm actually kind of impressed by the blunt honesty. You know what I mean? A lot of times coaches will dance around it, and, those are ongoing conversations. We approach it every week and watch the film and make those decisions on a week-to-week basis. Anthony's our guy, but, we got to look at all options, and he's the future. But, you're just like, yeah. I mean, as of today, yeah. But, all options are out there.
What I'm trying to figure out is it the tone of it, too? Are they evaluating all options because – they didn't like the honesty part? Is it because you weren't going all out and you had to check yourself out?
I think it's 10 of 32.
Effort.
Are you talking about because he took himself out of the game?
Yeah, because if it had been some sort of health kind of thing, we wouldn't be having this discussion. So from what that tells me is it's not really a health thing.
Somebody
Maybe
asked me. Somebody asked me about the Richardson thing. They're like, man, I'm glad he took himself out of the game. He was honest. And I was like, dude, I would have puked down my jersey on national television before I took myself out of the game.
What, just lied? Like, I don't know.
I think, honestly.
I've seen that, too.
Would have ran to the bathroom or something.
Yeah. I think it's performance. I'm telling you that the offense performed at a higher level in the one and a half games that Flacco played in than it did Sunday against the Texans. I can tell you that much. And they're 4-4, and they're not out of anything. They have a chance to make the playoffs. Head coaches don't have time to develop quarterbacks anymore. That's unless you have a guy like that is the beauty of what we've doing here with Penix.
Yeah,
but
it's kind of, and honestly, it's kind of the Will Levis thing that goes along with it. A lot of people they start looking at Will Levis' career, and you're like, when has this guy ever done anything that deserved to start and roll the NFL?
And honestly,
he left Penn State. He wasn't. I mean, never had a winning record at Kentucky. Wasn't great.
Well,
he
did more. With all due respect, and I'm a Florida guy, he did more than Anthony Richardson did at Florida.
No, I know, but that's my point. It's the same thing. It's like, at what point did we decide that this guy's got to be crowned the starter in the NFL?
We're going to find out what is coming up on the Steakhouse next on Sports Radio 99 The Game.